in a world that's getting colder. We easily could question Arthur's ways, the motives and the things they say. And seeing others as above us is rare this day and day. Just like a child, we want to love one another with our eyes. Just seeing the good in each other, just like a child. Growing, serving Jehovah, and finding joy in the part we're playing. We must remember that in a world of pride, we need a heart like that of a child.
Strong and wise. Cause he'll give you courage when you're feeling weak. Courage when you cannot speak. Courage in your darkest nights. Courage to stand up tall. Courage to face it all. Courage to trust him with your life. So hope is always by our side. Sacrifice. He gave me courage when I was feeling weak. Courage when I could not speak. Courage in my darkest night. Courage to stand up tall. Courage to face it all. Courage to trust him with my life. Hope is always by our side. Always, always. Hope is always by our side. By our side.
Oh, Jehovah, you have given us a
uncertainty you guide me. I know you're always near. Life may not be easy, but this I know is true. You're the God who's ever loyal. My life is safe with you.
Thank you all for joining us this morning. I know on behalf of the family, everyone certainly appreciates your support and your kindness in joining us together to really reflect and remember Michael's his life and his experiences. And to begin our program, we're going to invite a longtime friend of the family to open our program with prayer. So I'd like to pass the microphone over to Brother Glenn Mitchell, please.
Jehovah God, our Heavenly Father, and our God of tender mercies and comfort, please hear our prayer. Even though we can't meet together in person due to these pandemic times, we thank you so very much that we are able to have this memorial service for our brother, our spiritual brother and friend, Michael Prieper. And with many people attending from all over Alberta and Canada and other places, so that today we can come together in this time of sorrow and support the Prieper family with agape love and care as spiritual brothers and sisters and friends. We know, Jehovah, that you did not create us to cope with death as we were created to live forever. So please help us all to focus on the promise of the resurrection hope that is made possible by the ransom sacrifice of your son, Jesus. Please be with Angelina and the whole Prieper family as they carry on without their husband, their father, their brother, and their grandpa in the days ahead, so that they can be confident in the hope of seeing Michael again in the paradise. Please help all of us to be of a comfort to the Prieper family in the days and months to come as well. We thank you that we can all be here as part of your worldwide organization and spiritual family, and we thank you for the spiritual encouragement this day from your word, the Bible. We ask that you would please forgive us for our mistakes this day, and ask again that you would bless and comfort Angelina and the whole Prieper family this day and in the days ahead. We ask all of these things and offer this prayer through the name of our King and Ransomer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much, Brother Mitchell. Yeah, when we come together at a time like this, it's especially challenging, isn't it? Michael was a dear friend, and he's no doubt known all of you, in fact, for many years. And how nice it was to enjoy that video together and really just kind of capture some of the things that we remember about Michael. Michael, a dear husband, father, a son, and a brother, passed away peacefully on Sunday, June 21st, at home with his family. Michael was predeceased by his father, Ivan, and his two brothers, Russell and Leonard. And of course, he'll be lovingly remembered by his wife, Angelina, his son, Peter and Diane, and Chandler, Taylor, Boaz, Jachin, and Azariah, his daughter, April, and Ron, and their son, Hunter, and his son, Brian, his wife, Amanda, and Cypress and Neela. And of course, Michael will also be remembered by his dear mother, Angel, his brother, David and Wendy, his sister, Laura and Barry, and his sister, Julia and Todd, and his brother, Paul and Talia. Michael was born on April 3rd, 1956, in a tar paper shack in Nova Scotia. Although Michael was on time, the doctor was late. He actually showed up 3 days later. His beautiful mom, Angel, helped him develop a depth of friendship and qualities such as kindness and loyalty, rarely seen in many people these days, and a conversation style that made people feel at ease. No doubt you noticed many of these qualities about Michael. His dad, Ivan, was a man of many talents. He was infamously known throughout Nova Scotia as a top moonshiner. And I'm not a big drinker or anything, but I do definitely want to meet this guy someday. But he was also known for his strong work ethic and a wholehearted generosity towards others. Both his parents learned to love Jehovah, and they helped to develop these qualities in Michael, helping him to love Jehovah, and it certainly showed throughout his life. Alongside his dad, he would often be seen fixing cars so pioneers could have transportation, and growing gardens, raising pigs, and using much of this to help feed many in the congregation at various times. You'd find him at a lot of Kingdom Hall builds, helping out, just quietly doing whatever assignments needed to be done to contribute to the project and help to get things done. Michael met Angelina while working in food services at a district convention. They married in Centerville congregation in a double wedding alongside his second cousin and Angelina's sister on July 5th, 1975. And they remained a loyal couple serving Jehovah together for 45 years. Each day they'd spend each day they would share together every morning talking about Jehovah and just discussing things about him, learning and talking about remaining loyal and how to stick close to Jehovah during these difficult times. Michael was very happy to become a father, and he was proud to have three children, and each of them loved him deeply. He saw Peter grow to be a generous young man, a generous man toward Jehovah and a loyal family man, along with his wife, Diane. And he was able to see Peter teaching his stepsons, Chandler and Taylor, and his sons, Boaz, Jacob, and Azariah, to love Jehovah. He also saw April grow into a young lady with a zest for life, teaching her son, Hunter, to have that same love for life and respect for God, along with Ron. And he saw Brian gain his confidence as a well-rounded, responsible man, along with his wife, Amanda, helping their children, Cypress and Neela, to learn about Jehovah. Well, when we lose someone like this, we surely need comfort, don't we? In his word, God has recorded many examples of some in the past who've also needed comfort. Just think of Abraham. When his wife Sarah passed away, the scriptures say that he mourned and wept over her loss. Think about Jacob. When he thought that his son had died, the Bible says that he was overcome with grief. Even Jesus struggled with the loss of a loved one. When his dear friend Lazarus died, how did Jesus react? Well, if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to take a look at a scripture with me. Let's read it together in John chapter 11. And there we'll see exactly how Jesus reacted in this type of situation. Let's go to John 11, verse 33 to 35. It says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he groaned within himself and became troubled. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus gave way to tears. Did you notice that expression in the verse? Jesus, it said there that he groaned within himself. When you look at that in the study Bible, the footnote just expands on that term a little bit more, and it helps us to see that we're talking about an intense emotion, strong feeling. Jesus was deeply moved, agitated, inward commotion with great pain or sorrow. We felt that, haven't we? And what does it do? It makes you cry. And that's what it did to Jesus. Verse 35, it says, he gave way to tears. So what do you say at a time like this? How often have we asked that? You know, sometimes we go shopping for a card, try to find something that says just the right thing to try and express how we're feeling inside because, you know, nobody knows what to say exactly. But Jesus knew what to say. Let's take a look at what he said to Martha. Let's have a look at verse 23 in the same chapter. It says, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise. Martha said to him, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. So what did Jesus say? Well, the first thing he mentioned is the resurrection. And then did you notice how Martha responded? She says, I know he will rise. She had strong faith in that resurrection. it was comforting to hear about that. Michael had the same faith that Martha had. He often talked about the resurrection. He talked about the resurrection when his father Ivan passed away, even with his brothers having passed away. Many times he expressed faith in God's promise, even while in the hospital. But Jesus, he went on to reveal something even more to Martha. He revealed something to her that nobody had ever heard before. Let's have a look at verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who exercises faith in me, even though he dies, will come to life." Can you imagine how Martha felt hearing those words? Lazarus was known for exercising faith. This assured her that Lazarus was going to be resurrected, that that promise of seeing him in the last day would come true. How comforting that was for her to hear. Michael had the same strong faith that Lazarus had. When we visited together at the hospital, I asked Michael, I said, "Michael, what's your favorite scripture?" And I said, "You know, you don't have to tell me right now, but just give it some thought." And so I said, "You know, think about it over the next day or two." And so he thought about it, and he talked with his wife about it, and they looked at different scriptures. They looked at the front of the Bible. They went to the back of the Bible. They went to all sorts of different scriptures. And when I went back to visit, he said, "I love them all. I can't pick a favorite. Every word is special in some way. All of God's words were his favorite." He loved this whole book. Michael had strong faith. His greatest legacy was kindness and seeing the good in others. Wouldn't you agree? His hope and faith was clear and bright, and he well demonstrated this by the courage that he showed in the hospital, telling people about Jehovah, telling doctors and nurses about his hope and God's promise of a paradise and the resurrection as well, often witnessing to hospital staff. Well, Michael served Jehovah for many years. He was baptized on July 22nd, 1972 in Prince Edward Island, and he taught his family and neighbors about Jehovah and his word for over almost 50 years. We can be certain that like Lazarus, Michael will live again. But not only is Jesus comforting, but his father is comforting as well. Just consider some of these expressions from the Psalms. Psalm 34 and verse 18 says, "Jehovah is close to us." Psalm 147 verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted." Isn't it comforting to know a God like that? These warm expressions really help us to see what kind of God Jehovah is. He's warm. He's loving, and he's caring. When we think about Michael over the years, wow, did he ever love the outdoors? He enjoyed Jehovah's creations. He loved to spend time camping, fishing, hunting, whatever he could do to be in the outdoors and just enjoying these beautiful things. His best love was just being in the woods, smelling the fresh air, taking the time away from the hustle and bustle of the city and just sitting and reflecting, talking to Jehovah, spending time in nature. He could see that death was not part of Jehovah's original purpose for mankind. Instead, it's simply the result of Adam's disobedience, as the scriptures show. As descendants of Adam, we've all inherited the same enemy. And so death plagues us as it has for centuries. It's simply been passed on from generation to generation. Michael really appreciated God's promises. For example, one special promise that touched his heart, of course, is Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. I invite you to take your Bibles and let's turn there together because this is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful promise. And there in verse 4, it says, "And he will wipe out every tear from their eyes. And death will be no more. Neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be any more. The former things have passed away." Now, what a beautiful scripture that is, isn't it? Can you imagine living at a time when there's no more death? And we know that there's no death in heaven. So obviously, this scripture is talking about life on earth. Imagine, no more death. Well, what gave Michael such confidence in God's promises? Well, you know, when you look outside, you might have better weather than we do right now where you're located. But in Edmonton here, it's kind of cloudy. It's raining a little bit, might even be sprinkling right now. But what happens with that rain? Does the rain come down and do nothing? Well, let's take a look at a scripture and see what we can learn from the rain. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55, and there we'll take a look at verse 10 and 11. It says, "For just as the rain and the snow pour down from heaven and do not return there until they saturate the earth, making it produce and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word that goes out of my mouth will be. It will not return to me without results, but it will certainly accomplish whatever is my delight, and it will have sure success in what I send it to do." So you see, Michael appreciated how the rain comes down and saturates the earth. It makes beautiful plants, grass grows, the trees grow. When you walk in the forest after a rain, what is it like? Isn't it a beautiful experience? The smell of the trees, all of those things that Michael enjoyed. And so you see, this rain happens with a purpose, and it's the same with God's word. When Jehovah says something, it doesn't just not happen. It's a guarantee. And so Jehovah says, look at the rain and learn from it. And we can certainly appreciate that, can't we? Well, the Bible reveals something else about death that is truly comforting. First of all, the Bible helps us to see that we are souls. So in Ezekiel 18 and 4, it tells us that the soul dies. And so we know that the soul is not a separate part of us. We are souls, and when we die, it's the soul. We are the soul, and the soul dies. But some have wondered, is there any life after death? Well, again, the scriptures help us in this area too. Because at Psalm 146, verse 4, it tells us that after death, our thoughts perish. Now, notice how Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5 and 10 adds to this. It says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing at all. Nor do they any more have reward, because all memory of them is forgotten. Whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. For there is no work, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're going." So we can see that there is no thinking or life or activity after death. And we can consider this to be a very comforting thought because we know that Michael is not suffering. And all those in the past who have passed away are not suffering. They're just resting, just sleeping, waiting for the resurrection. The Bible gives us hope that millions who have died will live again. Remember when we were talking earlier about Lazarus? And remember when Jesus was talking to Martha and he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life"? Well, what makes Jesus the resurrection and the life? Well, let's take a look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. I invite you to turn there with me. And you'll notice that it says there, just as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered to, but to minister, to give his life as a ransom in exchange for many. So here we talk about something profound that Jesus has done. He gave his life. A perfect man. Deserved to live forever on earth. And he gave that up. Why? Because the scripture says that he was making an exchange. So what is exchanged here? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for the clear answer. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. And you notice what it says there? It says, for just as in Adam all are dying, so also in the Christ all will be made alive. Isn't that a beautiful expression? So do you see the exchange that takes place because of what Jesus has done? It's an exchange of death for life. It guarantees that that resurrection will occur. Jehovah has appointed Jesus, because of what he's done, to raise the dead. So if we go to John chapter 5, there is something very particular here that we need to remember. Let's go to John chapter 5, and if you could look with me at verse 25. There it says, most truly I say to you, the hour is coming, and it is now, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who have paid attention will live. So how does this work? Hear the voice of the Son of God and live? How does this unfold? Well, let's go back to John chapter 11. Earlier, we read about how Lazarus had died. But now notice how this scripture back in John 5, those words that Jesus said, comes to life here in this scripture. So in John chapter 11, let's focus our attention on verse 38. And just to kind of bring us into the context, we're going to read 38 and right through to 44. So in 38, it says, then Jesus, after groaning again within himself, came to the tomb. It was in fact a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take the stone away. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by now he must smell, for it has been 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. Then Jesus raised his eyes heavenward and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. True, I knew that you always hear me, but I spoke on account of the crowd standing around so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had been dead came out with his feet and hands bound with wrappings, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, free him and let him go. Jesus called his name. Isn't that what we read in John 5? He called his name Lazarus. So now Lazarus was already alive again. And Jesus gives him instructions. Come on out. Come on out. And he came out. There was no doubt who it was coming out of the tomb. His family immediately recognized him. I just want to share this interesting comment about this scripture made in the August Watchtower. It says, when Jehovah resurrects people, he'll restore their memories, attitude, and personality traits that made them who they were. He cherishes the traits that make each of us unique. He carefully notes the experiences in life that make us who we are. Remember Psalm 139, there King David said, you know me. And I get up. You know me when I get up and when I sit down. You discern my thoughts from afar. Can Jehovah not restore that person to who they were? Of course he can. Just like we learned from the example of Lazarus. So be ready, friends. Because Michael will come back with the same sense of humor, the same quirky jokes. So we look forward to hearing those again. When the resurrection begins, this world is going to be a different place. At Luke 23 and 43, Jesus himself referred to it as a paradise. Michael loved everything about life. He longed to see the paradise. When we talk about the Lord's Prayer, this is exactly what we're referring to. We're praying for God's kingdom. We're asking for that government of 144,000 men and women resurrected to life in heaven to turn this earth around and to get rid of sickness and death and even sin itself and restore this beautiful earth back to the paradise conditions that Jehovah originally intended in the Garden of Eden. Well, who will benefit from such a wonderful process? Well, let's take our Bibles again. Let's go to Acts chapter 24 and let's have a look at verse 15. There it says, and I have hope toward God, which hope these men also look forward to, that there is going to be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. So how many righteous and unrighteous have lived since the time of Adam? Friends, we're talking about billions of people. Billions of people, just like Michael, will hear Jesus' voice and come back to enjoy life on earth. Yes, even those who never even heard about Jehovah, never had a chance to put faith in Jesus. Even people who never heard any of these things will have the prospect of living again in the new system, in that paradise, because of the resurrection. What a beautiful promise to look forward to, isn't it? Well, when we gather together at a time like this, it's sure a challenge, isn't it? It's not something we want to do. But when we do meet like this, it gives us a chance to reflect on life. It gives us a chance to look at the brevity and uncertainty of life. In Ecclesiastes 9 and 11, it says, time and unexpected events overtake them all. Isn't it true how anything could overtake any one of us at any time? That's the brevity of life in this system of things. So what do we do about that? Well, I invite you to take your Bibles and let's turn to Psalm 90 and have a look at verse 12. There it says, teach us how to count our days so that we may acquire a heart of wisdom. Exactly. We need to count our days. We need to apply wisdom to each and every day, don't we? By the way we live, we want to make a good name, have a good reputation with God and with men. just like Michael did. You know, in Alberta, we hear a lot about oil. We know about the value of oil. But you know, in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1, it says, a good name is better than good oil. It says, the day of death is better than the day of birth. It says, the living should take it to heart. Michael tried his best to be a good man, to make a good name with his family, with his friends, his brothers and sisters, and with God. For example, Peter shared this about his dad. He says, Dad taught me some very important things. The first was to appreciate the natural world and what it could provide us. With this, he showed me how Jehovah provides for us. I appreciated all the camping and outdoor activities we shared together. The second was to make sure I knew how to figure out and fix my own things. Do it yourself was important for us to make sure we were not lacking and could be a help to our brothers in need. Another thing that Dad instilled in me was for everything else, we can depend on Jehovah. This helped me to see the importance of building my relationship with Jehovah. He showed this by supporting my theocratic privileges with a generous spirit. And Brian wanted to add this. Dad loved Jehovah, life, and people. He says he can't wait to share life with him again. And April says, my dad was amazing at fixing things from people to machinery. He taught me how to take care of my vehicle right from the very start. After I had my stroke, he still called me to check in on me, and even if life got the best of me, he'd still call me just to check in. My dad was such a loving, caring person who would drop everything to help us out. He was an adventurer, and I loved that about him. He was my inspiration, my best friend. He even babysat for me. He loved life and music, and he would dance with all of us. I look forward to seeing him in the new order so I can dance with him again. Did Michael have a good name? Indeed, he did. With family, with friends, and with God. Jesus encouraged his followers to store up treasures in heaven. And that's exactly what Michael did. In fact, the scriptures tell us that when we do good things for others, it's like lending to Jehovah. And so Michael was well known for helping others, caring for them, and doing whatever he could when he could. Well, how can we do the same thing? How can we build up treasures in heaven? How can we be sure that we'll enjoy these same beautiful promises? Well, the key is not to follow our heart, but rather to follow the course of wisdom. By our zealous works, by our godly conduct, by doing what we can to sanctify Jehovah's name, just like Michael, we can be certain that we'll be able to enjoy the resurrection, see Michael again, and of course, all of our loved ones who we dearly miss. So friends, we want to use this occasion and the days ahead to encourage the family. Reach out to them. Share a card, flowers, an expression, a phone call, email, text, something to share some encouragement, perhaps about our hope, perhaps about what we long to see in the future. And Peter and Brian, April, although you've lost your father, you haven't lost your Heavenly Father. Talk to him. Just like your dad, take a walk in the park, walk in the woods, spend some time alone and talk to Jehovah. Pour out your heart to him. He's there whenever you need it. And linger with Jehovah. Enjoy the fresh air, smell the trees, the flowers, listen to the stream, listen to the wind rustling through the leaves. Remember your dad and talk to Jehovah. That is exactly what your dad would love you to do. Friends, take the time to share your support of the family. Not just today, but think of them in the coming weeks, the months ahead, and keep them in your prayers. On behalf of the family, I wish to express sincere thanks for joining us today, joining us this morning, showing your support for our dear family. Also, on behalf of the family, I just want to express appreciation to all of the hospital staff, the medical staff that worked tirelessly to provide for Michael's care during this time. So if you joined the program a little bit late, we're going to play the video again after the closing prayer. So if you'd like to enjoy that video again with the music, feel free to stick around and enjoy that. So now we're going to conclude our program, and we're going to sing together an original song entitled Just Around the Corner. So let's listen to, let's sing that together. And if you're able to stand, we invite you to stand for that. Let's sing this song together. And then we're going to invite a dear friend of the family, Brother Russ Robideau, to close the service with prayer.
You can hear the songbirds singing, and you watch the clouds roll by. Then you're walking in the valley as the sun shines in a clear blue sky. You're welcoming your loved ones, and you can't believe your eyes. Yes, this earthly paradise was just around the corner. There's a house down in the valley, and a house high on the hill. There is singing by the river as the water flows and turns the mill. The golden fields are waiting, let the harvesting begin. Once the world we're living in was just around the corner. It's great to share with friends who care the things that we looked forward to. Now every tear has disappeared. The world is young and life is new. There's the sound of happy voices and the scent of new mown hay. Now you're calling to your loved ones as you start another perfect day. Then we thank our God Jehovah for his tender loving care. Yes, the blessings we all share were just around the corner. And every day smile and say how good to see your happy face. 'Cause once it seemed I only dreamed that you'd be in my warm embrace. Waiting round the corner is a world I long to see. It's a promise from Jehovah, it's a guaranteed reality. And it's hard to get downhearted when I think of what's in store. It's the day I'm waiting for, and it's just around the corner.
our loving Heavenly Father, Jehovah, may we please approach you with a prayer of thanks. Father, we are so grateful for many things. We are grateful that we know that our friend Mike is safe in your memory at this time. We know this, Father, because we are so happy that you've given us your word, the Bible, that we can understand what is happening in this world and what the future holds. But you've done more than that for us. Father, we thank you for your organization that helps us to understand the Bible, especially, Father, for the faithful and discreet slave, how these brothers work so hard on our behalf, and we thank you for that. But Father, today is not only about Mike, it's about his family, Angelina, her children, her grandchildren. We ask that your spirit be with them and all of Mike's friends as we go through these times and look forward to a far better time in that beautiful paradise. What a wonderful song and video to end this meeting. It just reminds us all of what life should be like, what it will be like. And it will be that way, Father, because of what you did. You gave us everything you had when you gave your son, Christ Jesus, so that he gave his life so that we might have hope. So we thank you for that gift too, Father. And we realize, Father, that we are imperfect servants of yours, and this causes us to fail you many times. For that, we truly beg your forgiveness. We leave ourselves in your care and ask you accept this prayer as we offer it through the ransoming merits and the love of your Son, our reigning King, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Showed us that we must be as young ones, remembering that in a world of pride, we need a heart just like a child. We value others, seeing what God sees through his impartial eyes. Just like a child, we want to love one another with our eyes. Just seeing the good in each other, just like a child. With our eyes, not focused on what could divide us. And as we're getting older, in a world that's getting colder, we easily could question others' ways, the motives and the things they say. And seeing others as above us is rare this day and age. Just like a child, we want to love one another with our eyes. Just like a child, we want to be full of kindness with our eyes, not focused on what could divide us. Be just like a child. Why we keep growing, serving Jehovah, and finding joy in Jehovah.
the part we're playing, we must remember that in a world of pride, we need a heart like that of a child.
Darkest night. tall. Courage to face it all. Courage to trust Him with my life. Jehovah's always by our side.
Life may not be easy. I'm frail. You have been my rock and refuge. Your power never fails. Help me be courageous and let my heart be brave. Lasting harm can never hold me. No prison gate or grave.
Thank you, friends, so much for